Lifeline report, news and analysis. Marvin Kalb, CBS News diplomatic correspondent, reporting on the CBS radio network. Good morning. MIRVs, missiles, and problems. Those in 1 minute.
He's 17. Well, that's plenty old. Old enough to know about things like grass and speed and acid and smack. We probably can't tell you anything about the stuff you haven't already heard. Or maybe even found out for yourself. So, we don't intend to give you any advice. He wouldn't listen. But the trouble is, neither will your kid brother. He doesn't know half of what you know. He doesn't know how dope can affect your body. He's never spent a violent night hugging a friend who was on a bad trip or watch a guy nod off in class and fall to the floor. He's just a kid and a real setup for anybody out there selling the stuff. We'd like to warn your little brother. Too bad he doesn't trust us. We can't get to him. But maybe you can.
An Advertising Council campaign.
There was a time, 10 years ago or so, when the United States was way ahead of the Soviet Union in the quantity and quality of its nuclear missile force. The Russians had several hundred long-range missiles. The U.S. had many more than that. After the Cuban Missile Crisis and the 1964 ouster of Nikita Khrushchev by Leonid Brezhnev, the Kremlin began a massive program of catching up. By the time the Nixon administration came to power in January 1969, it was already clear that the Russians would soon catch up with the United States in the number of long-range missiles, and that they would then make a determined effort to improve the quality of their missiles, to MIRV them, in other words. MIRV meaning multiple independently targeted vehicles. The capacity, in simpler language still, to fire a cluster of warheads in the nose cone of a single missile. Not like buckshot, but like separate bullets, each one aimed at a different target. There were those in and out of the administration who felt that the Russians would stop building missiles the moment they reached the number the U.S. had. That was not true. The Russians kept right on building those missiles, and the situation became so alarming that last year, the administration reached a 5-year deal with Russia that put a ceiling on the number of missiles both countries could have. Since the Americans weren't building very many, the effect was to put a ceiling on Soviet production. But that left Russia with many more long-range missiles than America. The rationalization was that the deal was better than none. Qualitative improvements were not incorporated into that deal. Everyone knew the Russians would continue to work on their MIRV capability in a crash effort to catch up with the U.S. in that technological sphere, too. For weeks and months now, there have been rumors that the Russians are close to a breakthrough on MIRV. And yesterday, the Defense Secretary, James Schlesinger, announced that recently the Russians test-fired missiles with MIRV warheads, and the tests were successful. By 1975, another year or two, the Russians will have MIRV their tremendous fleet of long-range missiles, which will have the effect of increasing the number of deliverable warheads by 3 times or 6 times, depending on how many warheads they choose to put into a single missile. The U.S. has already had a MIRV capability for several years. That monopoly is now going to end. If the U.S. wants to keep its qualitative lead over Russia, then it will cost money. Lots of money for research and development, new missiles and new warheads, a new push in the arms race. The money will have to come from Congress, of course, and the question is valid. After Vietnam and after Watergate, will the Congress provide the money? Top presidential aides have feared for some time that if they went to Congress hat in hand pleading national security, Congress wouldn't believe them. Their credibility is that bad, and Congress wouldn't provide the money. Moreover, there is an additional ironic problem. Because of the success of the president's recent policy of getting along with Russia, Russia no longer looks like a hostile enemy. So the administration is trapped. If it asks for more money, Congress may think the White House is merely seeking an excuse to divert everyone from Watergate. And if it keeps quiet, the U.S. stands the real risk of falling behind Russia in nuclear strategic strength. Now this message.
It's a cold and tired day, and drinking is the only way he knows to make it warm. So he goes into a bar and drinks, gets into skins a piece and tells him it's all right. And he never sees the face, never sees the face, never sees the face with the terror in the eyes. The man in time or needy, a child in time or needy, is it one or two or maybe even three? Get the problem drinker off the road, for his sake and yours. Write to Drunk Driver, Box 1969, Washington, D.C. We'll tell you how you can help.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation. First Line Report. Have a good weekend. I am Marvin Kell, CBS News.